Thank you, Joe. Let's go one book further, the Gospel of John. John chapter 6. The book of John chapter 6. Those who are watching by way of the internet, I hope that you can avail yourself of the scriptures. We're always thankful that you folks can join us. And I hope that you'll turn in the scriptures with us to John chapter 6. My subject is, this is that prophet. This is that prophet. Well, I had Joe read Luke's account of the feeding of the 5,000 men, not counting the women and children, because it's one of the portions of Scripture that's a parallel to this one in John. You know, of all the miracles that our Lord performed, all of the healings and the miracles to the public, this was the most publicized, that is, the most public one. And this is the only one that's recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So there's something significant to this. Like I said, it's one of the most public of all of our Lord's miracles. Some estimate, when you factor in 5,000 men, another passage says plus women and children, that there must have been somewhere between 15,000 and 20,000 people that our Lord fed. Years ago, like many of you, I learned of this story in Sunday school about the little lad that had two fishes and five little barley loaves, barley being the cheapest and the coarsest of the grains, usually reserved for feed for cattle. And that would give you some indication of the kind of family that this little boy came from. They didn't have very much of this world's goods. He had the very cheapest of breads that could be baked. And he brought his lunch with him that day. But in John's account, and if you read Matthew 14, Mark chapter 6, and then Luke chapter 9 that Joe just read to us, in John chapter 6, we're told something that Matthew, Mark, and Luke do not tell us. John says this, after this miracle, verse 14 of John 6, then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. Hold your place here and go to Deuteronomy chapter 18. Let me show you who mentioned this prophet back in the Old Testament. The men, some of the men who partook of this great miracle, who fed and they were filled with the food that the Lord prepared for them, they were knowledgeable of this portion of Scripture that I'm going to read to you from Deuteronomy chapter 18. Look at chapter 18 of Deuteronomy, verse 15. Moses is speaking to the children of Israel. He says, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet, capital P, right from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, him, unto him ye shall hearken. Verse 16. According to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. So Moses, back here in the Old Testament, speaks of this prophet. The Lord led him what to say. And now these men over here in John chapter 6, they remembering that portion of Scripture, they draw this conclusion. This is that prophet that Moses was speaking about. They consider Jesus of Nazareth to be the great prophet. Now, I would remind you of the responsibility of a prophet. He was anointed of God to deliver the Word of God, to deliver the message of God. But with our Lord Jesus, they said he is the great prophet, but they didn't want to hear what he had to say. But that's the reason for the office of a prophet, was to give forth the word of the Lord clearly and distinctly, which is what our Lord Jesus did. Matthew, Mark, and Luke talk about him preaching and healing the people when they gather together and they're hungry. And then our Lord Jesus goes on to preach to the people. They said he is the prophet. And then he began to preach. And you know what? They weren't interested in what he had to say. He preached unto them electing grace. He said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I'll in no wise cast out. He preached to them of man's inability. He said, no man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I'll raise him up at the last day. He identified himself as being the true bread come down from heaven, and he said, I am the bread of life. He that eateth of me shall never die. Our Lord illustrated what believing is. It is spiritually feasting on him and drinking his blood. Eating his flesh and drinking his blood. What is faith? It is feeding on the Lord Jesus Christ. It is receiving him into your heart, into your very being. It's believing him as he's revealed in the Word of God. You need a Savior? He's the Savior. You need a righteousness? He's your righteousness. You need forgiveness? He's the one who puts sins away by his sacrifice upon the cross of Calvary. He said, eat of me, drink my blood. They weren't interested in doing that. And then he began to tell them that he is going to be exalted into heaven. I'm going to ascend back where I was before. And they put all of this message together in their minds. These people who had said, this is the prophet. But that which the prophet had to preach, they didn't want to hear it. And so we read at the end of John chapter 6 that many of them left and followed him no more. No more. They liked him as a miracle worker. They liked him as a healer. They liked him in his compassion. They liked him when he took care of the sick folk. But when he started preaching the grace of God and salvation in himself, when he started preaching, "My words are spirit, my words are life," they weren't interested at all in what he had to say. And yet they said, "He's the prophet. He's the prophet." But they wouldn't hear his message. They had received physical food from his hands, but they weren't interested in spiritual food. He said, "I'm the bread of life." They didn't believe him. They didn't believe him. Well, our Lord Jesus is the prophet. He is that prophet that God sent. He occupies the three offices which were, for which there was an anointment of the Spirit of God in the Old Testament. He's the prophet, he's the priest, and he's the king. They wouldn't have him as their prophet. They didn't want him as their priest. They would have nothing to do with the sacrifice that he offered. Because you see, in offering the sacrifice to God, he was both the priest and the offering that was offered to God. But in their estimation, they didn't need a sacrifice. They didn't need an offering to God. They had their works. They were establishing a righteousness of their own by which they felt like God would accept them. They didn't need him as their prophet. They didn't need him as their priest. And they only wanted him as a king if he had run the Romans out of town. But he was still anointed of God for these offices. Know what it says here in John 6, verse 5. "When Jesus then lifted up his eyes, he saw a great company come unto him." And now you know that 5,000 men plus women and children, conservatively, the commentators estimate somewhere between 15 and 20,000 people. Well, it looked probably to the disciples like revival had broke out. I mean, that's what people are looking for in religion, big crowds. And he's got a big following. But the reason the vast majority followed him was because they were only interested in his miracles. They were curiosity seekers. They were thrill seekers to see what our Lord would do next. He broke the bread. But throughout the Gospel of John in chapter 6 especially, he broke open the bread of life. You see, you eat of the physical bread, you're going to still die, but eat of the spiritual bread, the bread who came down from heaven. The bread that was baked in the oven of God's wrath. The bread who endured the heat of God's anger and God's indignation against sin. If you eat of that bread, you'll live forever. And once you eat of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will say in your heart, "This is the best bread I've ever had. I don't want to have any other kind of bread but this bread." Now Luke tells us, Joe read this to us, Luke tells us he healed and he taught. He healed and he taught. And in that portion he read for us, he preached the kingdom of God. He preached the kingdom of God. He preached the kingdom of salvation. He preached salvation by grace, by divine purpose. God, before the world began, ordained a spiritual kingdom filled with people to the praise of the glory of God's grace. Our Lord preached that. The gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of redemption. The gospel of the shedding of the blood by the glorious substitute that God sent. He preached the gospel of the kingdom. That men and women and young people enter into the kingdom by the new birth. Except you're born again, you can't even see the kingdom of God, he said. Our Lord preached the gospel of the kingdom. And on this day, when he fed all these people, he's preaching that. What do you reckon it would have been like to have sat there on that grassy knoll? And some say that that place still exists and it's just a huge grassy field. I don't know about that. But it was about Passover time, so it wasn't in the springtime. I tell you, they sat down upon his command. Our Lord said, have them all sit down. And Mark tells us they sit down in ranks of 100, of hundreds and fifties. So it's very orderly because God demands things be done decently in order and nobody's going to be overlooked in being served. But he's going to preach to them. Wouldn't it be wonderful to hear the Lord Jesus break open the Old Testament? It'd be like when Mary broke open an alabaster box of precious ointment and it filled the aroma filled the house. That's what's going to be in glory. That's what I think. I believe our Lord's going to break unto us, open unto us the scriptures, and we're going to sit there with our jaws wide open and say, this is just wonderful. Oh, this is wonderful. We thought it was glorious on earth when we heard the under-shepherds, but now we're hearing the shepherd who gave his life for our sins. Our Lord broke open the scriptures to them, and I remind them, they didn't have the New Testament. All they had was the Old Testament. And he preached to them of things concerning himself. And then he preached and the people were getting hungry. It's getting late in the day. And the disciples said, send them away, tell them to go get something to eat. Tell them to provide for themselves. That's kind of what false preachers are saying today. Provide for yourself. You got it within you. Everybody's got a little faith within you. Our Lord said they need not go home hungry. And he instructed, look down here. He says, lifted up his eyes, verse 5, and he saw this great company come unto him. He said to Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? Now, our Lord never asked a question. Because he needed an answer. He's bringing this, the impossibility of this scenario to the minds and the hearts of his disciples. And he says in verse 6, this he said to prove him. A little test for you. Because he himself knew what he would do. Well, he knew it from old eternity, what was going to happen here. And Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little, just a little. And one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother saith unto him, there's a lad here. There's a little boy here which hath 5 barley loaves, 2 small fishes. But what are they? What are they among so many? You see, I tell you what our Lord's disciples did. They calculated as if the provision was dependent upon them. They calculated without factoring Christ into the equation. I guess they had forgot about how he changed the water into wine. I guess they forgot about how he raised the dead. And right here on this very occasion, he has healed everybody who was sick. Their hunger and the very meager amount of food that the little boy has, this is no obstacle to the King of Glory. Nothing is impossible with him. He feeds spiritually hungry people every day. He gives us a hunger, and then he satisfies the hunger with the sweet gospel of his grace. They calculated without Christ. You see, let's not think God is unable to do something by judging him and his ability by us and our inabilities. God's not like us. Christ has all power in heaven and in earth. There's nothing that's impossible with him. He does his will among the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? What's 15,000 or 20,000 hungry people to the Lord of glory? He didn't even need the 2 fishes and the 5 barley loaves as far as that goes. Because you see, here's what happened. There's a continual creative act as our Lord broke the bread and pieced out the fish. There's a continual creative act that as fast as the apostles could come and gather the food, the Lord had created more. Don't think that our Lord is weak like we are. Don't underestimate his power. He's able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him. When he hung on the cross of Calvary, physically beaten, whipped, bloodied, he had power to save a sinner, to create life in the heart of that thief, and put a cry within his soul, Lord, remember me. That thief didn't have that cry before. He was railing on Jesus of Nazareth just like his unbelieving friend. But something happened to him. What happened to him? The great physician performed another miracle. Well, there was one inside. He quickened him by his power. Man's made alive. He said, Lord, remember me. When you come into your kingdom, I believe you're going to have a kingdom. Well, who in the world would believe that? This naked, bloodied man that's dying? You believe he's going to have a kingdom? Thief said, I sure enough believe it. And the Lord said, today, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. I tell you what, if our Lord's of a mind to do it, he can do anything. He can even save your lost loved one that you're burdened about. Seems impossible to us. You say, oh, my brother, my sister, my child, my husband, my wife, my parents, whoever it is. Say, boy, they're just so hard-hearted. There's no heart too hard but what the Christ of Calvary can't break it. Don't you sell him short. If it's his will, he can break the hardest heart. Broke yours, didn't he? Broke mine. I was lost in religion, carrying a Bible. Thought I was doing God's service. He brought me down to size. Oh, yes, he does his will. In verse 10, the Lord said, make the men to sit down. There's not going to be any human effort in this. And I'm going to tell you something. If the Lord's going to do a work of grace in your heart, he's going to make you sit down. You're not going to lend any power or any assistance in this great salvation. It's of God. It's a creative act of God. For by grace you stay through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship created, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained. I know today it's make your decision for Jesus. That's what they say. You don't hear anybody say, I pray that God create life within you. Very few men say that. Well, he started, after he had people sit down, he took the loaves and he began to multiply. And he distributed, watch this, to the disciples. He distributed to the disciples. They couldn't create the bread. The bread didn't originate with them. They had nothing to do with it. They received the bread of life and then distributed it. They couldn't force people to eat. They couldn't give them an appetite. Their total responsibility was distribute the food. You see, it's like preachers of the gospel. Our Lord Jesus, who is the bread of life, the gospel originates with him. He is the gospel. He purposed salvation before the world began. And he teaches us about this salvation, about his substitutionary death upon the cross, about his blood shedding and the necessity of satisfying God's justice. He tells us, I am the bread of life. He tells us of his successful redemption and then of his death and his resurrection. I'm the bread of life. And he distributes the food to his preachers. Says, just now you pass it out. That's what I'm doing now. I'm passing out the bread and the fish. I can't make you eat. I can't give you a hunger. I didn't create the bread. I didn't create the supper. You see, the gospel, think of it this way, and Isaiah portrays it this way. It's a great banquet feast. That's what the gospel is. You're talking about a buffet. Really, every time you hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're being seated at a table of unlimited spiritual food. All the dainties that God has for poor sinners. And it's my privilege and the privilege of every preacher of the gospel to put the food on the table for you. But I can't make you eat. But the Lord can. So he distributed it to his disciples, verse 11, and the disciples to them that were set down. And then likewise of the fishes as much as they wanted. And verse 12 says, and when they were filled. I compare that. Look back at verse 7. Philip said, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. A little? They're not going to get a little. They're going to be filled. Our Lord doesn't give out a little. He gives out a lot. Why? This gospel of God's grace, it'll fill you today, it'll fill you tomorrow, it'll fill you till your life ends. Not a little, it's a lot. You think of how glorious this gospel is. It's full of the love of God. It's full of the wisdom of God. It's full of the justice of God. It's full of God Himself who originated the gospel in Christ Jesus. And He gives it to His preachers and we preach. And then you eat of it. And hopefully you get full, got full this morning, then you come back tonight and said, you know, I'm kind of hungry again. Well, I hope you're going to get full again tonight. Come back Wednesday night, and the Lord willing, I'll see if I can set another banquet before you. And that's what preachers do, because the Lord distributes the gospel to us, and then we distribute it to y'all. And you eat and are filled. He doesn't just give you enough to kind of, well, this'll hold you over. It's not a snack. He don't give snacks. This gospel's a full meal. Well, verse 13 says, and they gathered them together. Anybody else want anything to eat? They said, whew, can't eat any more. I'm full as a tick on a hound dog now. I can't eat any more. They filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above under them they were eating. See, there's not going to be any waste. This gospel's not going to go to waste. I can tell you that. It's not going to go to waste. You may not want to eat of it, but it's not going to be wasted. Our Lord see to it, somebody's going to eat. And then verse 14, then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, something clicked in their minds. We remember what Moses said over there in Deuteronomy. This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. And so verse 15 says, when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. He's going to be made king, but not by those fellows. Because you see, the way to the crown is by way of the cross. There's no throne to await the Son of Man unless the Son of Man lays down His life to satisfy God's justice and save His people from their sins. That's how He arrived at the throne. He deserved it. Oh, here's the prophet. What an amazing miracle this was. Our Lord Jesus feeding so many, just like He continually feeds us. Lord, give me a hunger. Lord, give me an appetite. A lot of people don't find this gospel of God's sovereign grace to be tasteful at all. They don't find it delicious. They find bitterness in it. They find a message that leaves them uncomfortable. But I tell you, to those whom God has quickened by His Spirit, we say, we bless the name of God for such mercy to unworthy sinners like us. And we honor Him who lived and died and rose again, and whoever lives to make intercession for us. Feed me, Lord. Feed me, Lord, with that bread of life. Well, let's sing a closing song.